So the reading is from Luke, chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing the nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thank you, Elle. Yes, Liz, come up. Just a little introduction. If you don't know who Liz is, this is Liz Cox. Liz is a member of St. Mary's. We've known Liz for a long time, probably now. And Liz is a wonderful follower of Jesus. And she's been a real blessing to me over the years. So I'm really pleased that you're here to share with us today. Can I just pray for you? And yeah, so Holy Spirit, I thank you that you speak to us and you teach us and you encourage us. And I'd ask that tonight your words would flow through Liz, that our hearts would be encouraged and changed and challenged, and that we would experience your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good evening. Can I take this out? Will that work? Oh, there we go. Come through this way. It's really lovely to be with you. Phil said it's all very laid back and relaxed, so I think I'm going to come and stand down here if that's all right, and then I won't feel quite so up on a podium. Does that work? Can you hear me? Can you see me? You might not want to see me, but you can at least hear me. One of the things I love about the Bible is the way that Jesus can come off the pages in the book itself and into our lives. And we know, don't we, that when we read about Jesus, we're not just reading about some historical figure who lived in the past a long, long time ago and then died. Jesus did live in the past 2,000 years ago and he did die. But he, unlike anyone else, was resurrected back, not up into heaven, but resurrected back into this world. And that means he can be encountered here in this world. He's alive and he can walk off the pages of this book into the pages of our lives. And so really I just want to share a bit with you about ways Jesus has been doing that for me, walking into the pages of my lives and my life. I've only got one. And speaking to me, I want to start in the book of Mark, which wasn't where we read, so I won't be there for long, and then I'll flick over to the reading that we just had. But there's something about the picture that Mark paints of Jesus right at the very beginning of his book that's grabbed my attention. So we see Jesus launching into his ministry, and he gets baptized, and then he's driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit, and he's there for 40 days and he fasts and so on, and then he comes out. And these two little verses that Mark writes are where I want to start. So after John was arrested, John the Baptizer, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." So here's Jesus coming out of the desert, and he's got this message burning in his heart, and his words are, "Repent and believe good news." Now, I don't know what you think about that word, repent. It's probably not one of my favourite words. It might feel a bit intimidating or a bit old-fashioned or a bit off-putting. But really, at its heart, what it means is change your mind. Change your mind. So Jesus is coming out of the desert with this agenda for people to change their minds and believe something good. What might he want us to change our minds about? That's a good question, isn't it? Probably lots of things, actually. But if we look at what comes next, we can catch a bit of a clue. And what comes next is this story that we just read in Luke. So Mark briefly mentions it, but Luke unpacks it with much more detail. So that's why I wanted for us to read his account. And it might be a story you've heard before. It's a really great picture to visualize, isn't it? This story of Jesus teaching on the shore, and people are gathering around to listen. And then Jesus sees these two boats, and he kind of gets this idea that I could go and sit or stand in one of the boats and teach from the ship, from the sea. And so that's what he does, and speaks to the people. The fishermen are there because they've helped him out in the boat. And I guess people are starting to disperse. I don't really know, but I kind of picture the crowds beginning to disappear, and then Jesus's attention starts to focus on the disciples, who become the disciples, on the fishermen. And he suddenly gives them an instruction to put out to sea for another catch. And here are these seasoned fishermen who kind of know that it's really not very likely to get a good catch of fish at that time of day. But something about Jesus has struck them, and they decide they'll do it. So out they go, and they in fact get this huge, huge catch of fish. And they're just all astounded. And what I want to really look at is the relationship, the thing that goes on between Jesus and Peter. Because Peter is just so awestruck at this. He knows that he's witnessed a miracle. He knows that's not something that just happened to happen. He knows somehow Jesus has done something extraordinary. And in that moment of awe, he just falls to his knees. And what comes out of his mouth is what he's suddenly hugely conscious of about himself, what he feels about himself, and he just blurts it out. "Jesus, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man." Just blurts it out, the thing that he most feels about himself in that moment. And it's probably not a word we'd use today, sinful. What he's really saying is, "Jesus, I'm not a goody two-shoes. I'm not the kind of person you want around me. I've got history. I've blown it. I've messed up. You don't want me around you. So, you know, go away. Go away from me." And it's really interesting to look at what Jesus does right in that moment, because he doesn't go away. He hears what Peter says, but he stays with him. He stays with him. And I think, wouldn't it be great if we could see the look on Jesus's face at that moment? It's where our imaginations can really help us. If you picture that scene, how might Jesus have been looking at Peter at that moment as he just stays with him and he hears what he says and then he sees into his heart. And he sees into his heart maybe just a bit more deeper than even Peter himself is aware of. And what he sees is fear. And so he speaks to that and he says, Peter, don't be afraid. Because what you think of you isn't what I think of you. I don't think of you what you think I might think of you, and I don't think of you what you think of you. And that's the first invitation to change our minds, to let Jesus show us what he thinks of us. Because Jesus doesn't think of us what we think of us. And what would that be like? What would that be like to allow that possibility into our beings, that Jesus doesn't think of us how we think of us? And maybe something could change in that. And so right there, in that moment where Peter feels probably the worst about himself, Jesus chooses him, doesn't he? He's saying, you think that all of your badness disqualifies you from me being around you, but it doesn't. It doesn't disqualify you. You don't have to become something for me to choose you. Jesus is saying, you don't have to become something first for me to choose you. I choose you so that you can become something. And it's always that way around with God, isn't it? Because what Jesus said is that I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you to become fishers of men. It's not something you've got to do by yourself. You don't have to summon it up and make something of yourself. But I will do it in you. I will bring about a change in you whereby people are going to see something about you that draws them to me. You're going to become attractive because of what I do inside of you. And you'll begin to have a purpose that's way beyond anything you could have thought for yourself. Because in the place where you think you're most rejectable, most failed, most whatever, Jesus comes close, stays with us, chooses us, calls us to follow, begins his agenda of change in our lives, calls us to change what we think about ourselves, and calls us to change what we think maybe God thinks about us, and to open up to different possibilities. And there starts a new story. So I wanted just to finish to share a little story that I really like. Put that down a minute. It's a bit of a change of scene. But you might like to close your eyes as I tell or read this story. It's about a man who's a very busy executive, busy life, and he goes out to a desert father, someone, a wise man living out in the desert. And he meets with this hermit, this wise man in the desert. And he complains about his frustration in prayer. He complains about his flawed virtue, his failed relationships. And the hermit listens closely. Maybe you can identify with some of the ways you complain about your own life, your own inabilities, And a hermit listens closely to his visitor's rehearsal of the struggle and disappointments in trying to live a Christian life. And then the hermit goes back into the dark recesses of his cave, and he comes out with a basin and a jug of water. And he says to the man, "Just watch as I pour this water into the basin." So he starts pouring, and the water splashes on the bottom of the bowl, up against the sides, and it's agitated and turbulent as he keeps pouring it out. And at first the water swirls around the inside of the basin, and then gradually it begins to settle, until finally the small, fast ripples evolve into larger swells that go back and forth, and eventually the surface of the water becomes so smooth that this visitor can see his face reflected in the water. And the hermit says, "That's the way it is when you live constantly in the midst of others. You don't see yourself as you really are because of all the confusion and the disturbance. And you fail to recognize the divine presence in your life, and the consciousness of your belovedness slowly fades." And in a way, I think that's what had happened to Peter. In all the circumstances of what life had thrown at him, he failed to recognize the divine presence in his own heart, in his own life, the image of God that only he could carry in the way that he could carry. And the consciousness of his belovedness had faded away. So perhaps in this moment of quiet, you can let Jesus bring back to you the consciousness of how precious you are, how beloved you are, that only you can be you to God. No one else can ever take your place in God's affections, and you're precious. And beloved. And what you think about yourself isn't what God thinks about you. And you might just hear a whisper as we're sitting here now from Jesus, telling you something about how he sees you that's personal and that's just for you. So let me just pray as we finish. Jesus, thank you that you see deep into our hearts. And you don't think about us all the same things that we think about ourselves. Would you give us ears to hear your thoughts? And strength to change our minds and see what can change in our lives. See what you can make of us. So we confess that we can't do that work ourselves, but we can invite you and trust you to do it in us. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.